This is Tall Tales time. Legends of long ago. Stories from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, the story of a remarkable gentleman and an even more remarkable discovery. It's a story we call The $50,000 Foxhole. The time is the year 1855. The place, the windswept Cumberland Plateau. Our storyteller, he's a young fellow named Kennedy, Leslie Kennedy. And there he stands in the shadow of Swanee Mountain, waiting to tell us a very tall tale.
Here we are, right where it all began. 2,000 feet above the sea level on the big chunk of rock the Indians call Swanee. Big Mountain. The wind has an edge like a knife up here. It's twisted the chestnuts out of shape and made the oaks bow to the blast. And it's that lonely up here. Me, oh my, when I started up, I thought I was climbing clear out of this world entirely. This is undiscovered country, or dang near it, known but to a few hunters and trappers and to the handful of hill folk who raise corn on weekdays and all kinds of cane on Saturday night.
Wake up, darling Corey. What makes you sleep so sound? The revenue officers is coming to tear your steel house down. Don't you hear them bluebirds singing? Don't you hear that mournful sound? They're preaching Corey's funeral in the lonesome graveyard.
This plateau country raised itself up, wild and lonely, above the hustle and bustle, the money-making and the mansion-building to the west and east and south. For half a century, things had stood still up here. But when I first climbed up here, where the soil is thin but blood runs thick, back then in 1850 was when the first talk of cutting the railroad through come along. I climbed up here to look around, see what I could see. I figured there'd be a bit of interest in this forsaken land now that a railroad might come through. So I hacked and scratched my way to the top of the peak, Old Swanee, the Big Mountain. And what do you think I found? Coal, big black hunks of it. Well, I hopped around like a chicken in the corn crib, picking up black chunks of coal till my pockets bulged and my hands were black as tar, and I scrambled down this mountain fast as my legs could carry me and hustled off to Nashville. Nashville, where they actually lighted the streets with gas lamps. Now, you know a city that'll burn gas lights in its streets, a city where folks have ballrooms right in their houses, that city is bound to be rich. And so that's where I went to find me a man who might want to own a coal mine. But nobody took any stock in what I said. Nobody seemed interested at all. Nobody, that is, except one man. Just about the most remarkable man I ever met. First glimpse I had of him, he was waltzing on the dance floor and cutting the most elegant figure in the room. Whiskers, sideburn-like wings, and a waistcoat that looked like a gold-spangled sunrise. And so I met him. And all of a sudden, he got as excited about the coal on the mountain as I was.
The name's Bilbo, sir. William Bilbo. So you're the man who has discovered the coal and been laughed at for his pains.
Yes, sir. I just can't seem to get anybody interested. But I'm sure someday that mountain will be as valuable as a diamond mine.
A black diamond mine, eh? Oh, my little joke, sir. Forgive me. Tell me, Kennedy, can you find this place again, the spot where you gathered the coal?
Well, of course I can. I marked it. I blazed the path to it. But, Mr. Bilbo, I'm sure that's not the only spot on Swanee Mountain where coal's to be had.
Indeed. More places than one, eh? My boy, I am very interested. Would not dream of taking you away from the excitements of the ballroom, but if you'd care to visit my law officers tomorrow, I should like to discuss the matter further. The officers of Bell and Bilbo, Mr. Kennedy. And shall we say 9 o'clock?
So that's how it came to pass that I climbed back up to the top of Swanee Mountain with Mr. William Bilbo scrambling behind me. Yes, sir, for all he was Nashville's fashion plate and the law partner of John Bell, that's the John Bell who cut such a wide swath in Tennessee and Washington politics, this Mr. Bilbo bundled up against the raw wind and climbed the mountain with me.
My boy, Leslie, my boy, must we go so fast?
Well, we've got considerable distance to travel, Mr. Bilbo.
Very well. There I'm even with you. My word, who is this coming toward us? Is he a native of this place, I wonder?
I don't know, but that rifle he's carrying looks pretty businesslike.
What do you suggest, Mr. Kennedy?
Well, let's stand our ground. He don't own this mountain.
Neither do we yet, and he has the drop on us.
Let's find out his state of mind. Howdy, you live around here?
Yep.
Going hunting?
Nope.
Not very friendly, is he?
That's how they are up here until you get to know them. Then they'll talk an arm off you. We're strangers up here.
I see,
My name is Bilbo, and my friend here is Mr. Kennedy. I don't believe I caught your name.
Well, I didn't throw it out.
He's got you there, Mr. Bilbo. Truth is, sir, I've been on the mountain once before.
I know, I seen you. You ain't gonna do much business toting coal in just your pockets. You better get a wagon like I got.
You're mining it and selling it?
You found coal, too?
Now, hold on. You all ask a passel of questions. I don't know if I care to answer them all.
Well, we were just being neighborly, Mr.
All right, young fella. My name's Wooten, Ben Wooten. Now, you tell me something. What brings you up here?
Mr. Wooten, you're a shrewd businessman. Too shrewd for us to obfuscate. We, too, are interested in coal.
You don't say.
What did you mean, Mr. Wooten? Get a wagon.
How else are you going to get the coal out? I told you, it wouldn't pay you to tote it out in your pocket.
Would it be possible for us to see where your coal comes from, Mr. Wooten? I don't mean to put you out of your way, but we'd be extremely interested.
You would? Well, I'll be dogged. In that case, come along. Nothing I'm doing that can't wait till tomorrow. It's a right smart of a walk, weren't it? Well, here we are. Here's where I find the coal. Say, I never did tell you how I come to find it in the first place. Happened like this. Me and my boys was out hunting a fox. Fox ran into under that stump of blown-down poplar trees. My boys begun digging for him. Whilst they was digging, they come on some black stones and brought them to me. Now, I know coal, so help me, and that was coal. Yeah, I got me a grant of 300 acres around that there foxhole, and I've been digging ever since. As soon as I get a wagon load out, I hitch up my team and haul it down the mountain. Why, every blacksmith in the valley's my customer.
Well, sir, Mr. Bilbo wanted to get back to Nashville as soon as possible. I've never seen a man so excited.
Tons and tons and tons of it. The whole mountain seems to be cold. By the great horn spoon, what I wouldn't give for some of that mountain land.
Give for it? Why, Mr. Bilbo, nobody buys mountain land. The soil's too thin to grow weeds.
Soil? Young man, who wants to grow a crop? Aim to dig in that dirt, but not to drop any corn in the hole. No, sir.
Well, if you're serious about this, Mr. Bilbo, I reckon you can, well, buy as much land on Swanee Mountain as you could ride over in a month for, well, about 12 cents an acre.
I offered Mr. Wooten 10 cents an acre, and he accepted. I reminded him of what he would save on taxes, an item he had forgotten, I think. Leslie, would you care to revisit the mountain on an errand for me? A land by an errand?
Mr. Bilbo bought all the land he could. Some of it he didn't even have to pay for. The owners just turned it over to him, glad to escape the tax payments. And the city of Nashville laughed at Mr. Bilbo until the citizens' sides ached.
Leslie, my boy, let them laugh. I've faced a great many juries in my day, and I have, if you'll pardon my saying so, brought most of them around to my way of thinking. Keep buying land on that mountaintop, Leslie. I'm making a trip to New York City. If I'm successful in what I plan to do there, my scoffing friends in Nashville will have to laugh up the other sleeve.
I saw him off on the train to New York, and then I went back up the mountain and bought him some more land. I met Mr. Wooten again.
Mr. Kennedy, what in the world's gotten to your friend Mr. Bilbo? He must be plumb out of his mind. He's got darn near this whole mountaintop by now, and I'm just afeard he's swallowed a watermelon and him a-thinking it was a peach. I'm uneasy about my part in the bargain.
Why, there's no need to be, Mr. Wooten.
Well, I am. And so I want to do the right thing. I want to throw in my wagon on the deal. Oh, he'll need it, Mr. Kennedy. Ain't no other way to get that coal down off this mountain.
But that wasn't to be Mr. Bilbo's worry after all. He was all smiles when he came in off the New York train.
Leslie, it's a pleasure to see you again. A great pleasure. Mr. Tracy, meet my right-hand man, Mr. Leslie Kennedy. Leslie, this is Mr. Samuel Tracy of New York City. He's very interested in our mountain, Leslie. Very interested.
Interested in our mountain? Well, I pretty soon found out why Mr. Tracy's being interested in Swanee Mountain had Mr. Bilbo all smiles. Mr. Tracy was rich. Big rich. And his friends were rich, too. And they were interested in that mountain, too. I'd never met a financier before, and that's what Mr. Tracy was.
Then I trust the document meets your agreement and that of your friends in the coal mining syndicate, Mr. Tracy. Good. Then I'll just sign here. William N. Bilbo. There. Now your name, Mr. Tracy. Good, good. And the witnesses? Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I must say it's been a genuine pleasure to meet and do business with you. Mr. Tracy, I'll put your check into my banker's hands today. No sense in any delay, huh? Not that $50,000 is such a great sum in New York. I'm sure your banker can stand it, sir, but here in Nashville, well, it's just a little out of the ordinary, I can tell you. And I'd like to deposit it while you're still in town, just in case there are any Nashvillians who would like to meet the man who paid $50,000 for a foxhole. Oh, it's going to give me a great deal of pleasure, a great deal, to have the last laugh on the friends who called me the darndest fool lawyer who ever lived.
Well, he sold his mountain, built himself a house with big white pillars to it, and went back to practicing law. Never bought another acre of land, either.
I don't intend to push my luck, Leslie. No, sir. I might never be so fortunate again. You stay with Cole, Leslie. I'll go back to Blackstone.
And so he did. Now, I'm the mine boss up here on this mountain, loading the coal on the cars and sending it down to the valley on our railroad. There's a town up here named Tracy City, after Mr. Samuel Tracy. But no landmark called after Mr. Bilbo. He wanted it that way. He told me.
If I hadn't sold the mountain, folks would have called it not Swanee, but Bilbo's Folly. Well, they didn't get the chance. And that's enough fame for me, Leslie. I took the cash, Leslie. I'll let the credit go.
Chickens a-crowing on the Sourwood Mountain, hoodie-um the ing alley day. So many pretty girls, you can't count them, hoodie-um the ing alley day. My true love lives over the river, ho-dee-um-dee-ing-alley-day. A few more jumps and I'll be with her, ho-dee-um-dee-ing-alley-day.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Tennessee legends. Tonight you heard the story of the $50,000 foxhole, the opening of coal mining on Swanee Mountain a century ago. Next Tuesday, the story of the sailor on horseback.
Ducks in the pond, geese in the ocean, ho-dee-um-dee-ing-alley-day. Devils in the women if they take an ocean, ho-dee-um-dee-ing-alley-day.
Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and comes to you every Tuesday evening at the same time. In the cast tonight were Don Moore, Charles Galbraith, and Bob Goldman. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from the Air Castle of the South.